Texans Weekly is brought to you in part by M&T Bank, the official bank of the Houston Texans. And by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into Texans Weekly, where we are getting you ready for the big matchup between the Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, as always, we'll sit down with General Manager Rick Smith. But first up, let's check in with the players and coaches and get their take on the Baltimore Ravens.
We're looking for, I'm not just saying defensively, consistency as a team, Dale. You know, I mean, that's what everybody's trying to get to early in the season. We've been inconsistent. We've done some really, really good stuff. And some stuff that's going to get you beat week in and week out. And it didn't matter if I'm talking about offense, defense, or special teams. So it's no better weekend for us to play more consistent, because this will be a very difficult place to play, very tough environment against the best football team in football last year. So we got to work it out for us. That's been our motto all week. Let's be more consistent. Let's play cleaner. All those things going on right now.
Yeah, we got to make more plays. We got to make more plays to get off the field and prevent the big plays. And when we do that, we're playing a whole lot of better defense, and statistically we'll be definitely improved as well.
You know, Flacco obviously took him to a Super Bowl. I mean, he played tremendous in the playoffs, and he's a guy that can they can put it on his shoulders, and he can do it. You know, he's proven that. So, he's one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, and became that way because he earned it.
Very talented up front, as always. Elvis is a great addition for them, rushing the passer. Younger in the secondary, obviously they have a couple guys that aren't there, but they're very talented. You know, do a good job of man coverage and playing their zone. So they're a big challenge for us.
And the Texans-Ravens game, not the only big game going on this week. Joining me now, Case Keenum, a former U of H Cougar, and the Bayou Bucket is, of course, this week on Saturday, where the Cougars take on the Rice Owls here at Reliance Stadium. Case, thanks for being here. What are your memories of that rivalry and of those games?
I got a lot of memories. You know, I think we went back and forth, quite a few years, and it's always good to have bragging rights in Houston, and of course to try to take home the Bayou Bucket.
Yeah, the Bayou Bucket. As you said, that's kind of the bragging rights. How really much? You know, a lot of times when you talk to players, they're like, "Hey, it's just another game. You know, we're just looking at what's ahead of us." But really, is that something that you guys really do take pride in, and with those bragging rights?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we get to see these guys, around the city all year long during the summer. Off season, so to be able to say that you won it and that it's sitting there in your locker room is it's always something special to both sides.
You won't be able to go to the game, obviously. You'll be traveling to Baltimore that day, but keeping tabs on it on the plane.
Oh yeah, trying to keep up with my Cougs and making sure they handle their business. I know it's here at Reliant. I wish I could go, but we've got other business to handle.
How close do you stay involved? I know the team came out to practice at a training camp one day. Do you have any contact with, like, David Pylon or the quarterbacks? Or are you able to stay in touch with them at all?
Yeah, I try to. I know they stay busy, and, we've got a lot going on over here, too. But I try to make it out. I was able to work out with a lot of those guys over the summer, and I keep up with them as much as I can. And it's nice now that they're playing here at Reliant kind of shoot in after practice if we have a home game to one of their games. So it's been nice. It's been really good. It's a benefit of playing in the town that I went to college in.
All right, before I let you go, greatest memory playing against the Rice Owls?
I really can't go without saying the 9-touchdown game that we had a couple years back. So just to remind all those guys of that.
Yeah, in case nobody knew, 9 touchdowns in one game. All right, Case, thanks so much. Be sure to check out the Bayou Bowl here at Reliance Stadium Saturday at 2 o'clock. We've got to take another time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, we will sit down with General Manager Rick Smith. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Joining me now, as always, General Manager Rick Smith. Welcome back.
Thank you, Patty.
Let's wrap up this game against the Titans. Boy, another nail-biter, another one to hold our breath for. As you're sitting there watching this kind of go down, what's going through your mind at the end of the game?
Well, obviously, what needs to happen in order for us to get back into the game, the two-point conversion, overtime, I'm just trying to anticipate what's going to happen, what do we need to do, and just hoping like a lot of other people, because I don't have any control, obviously, about what's happening.
Gary Kubiak comes out afterwards and totally, as he should and as we all expected, defending Randy Bullock and, you know, it's a young kid. What, from your standpoint, when you look at something like that, does that start making you think other ways? Do you just, your confidence in it? How do you move forward?
No, I'm totally confident in him. And you know, I was approached after the game by some media, you know, members, and I was asked a question and off the record. And I'm pretty resolute in my opinion about Randy's ability to help us. I mean, first of all, he's kicking off the ball exceptionally well. I mean, we didn't have a return in the game on Sunday. And the kicks that the attempts that he's made have been long range attempts, and I think Gary even made mention of the fact that had he, you know, had an opportunity to maybe start off with a 25-yard, a 30-yard, a couple of those easy kicks that, you know, he gets into a rhythm, and maybe he's even successful on some of those longer kicks because he has the ability, he has the leg strength. That's not an issue; it's the accuracy at this point, and so we've got a lot of confidence in him, and we believe in him.
A couple fines came down this week now, resulting in that game. One, Bernard Pollard on Andre Johnson. I just want to get your take on that. But more importantly, Kareem Jackson, also a $42,000 fine.
Yeah, Kareem, obviously, you know, when you've got crossing routes like that and corners come off and they have shots like that on the receivers, what we're trying to do as a league, obviously, is protect these players. And so anytime you see a guy, you know, take a shot to the head, whether it's intentional or not, you know, it's going to result in a fine. And we've got to do that because what we're trying to do, as you know, is try to change the culture of the game and take the head out of the game. And one of the ways to do that is the fine system.
So, you know, you being someone who's on these committees and very active in all this, is there a fine line between staying away from that and then situations like DJ Swearinger where the knees come into place? I mean, that zone where you can hit just become it just almost like a double-edged sword.
It is. I mean, and obviously we've got to look at that, and that was one of the unintended consequences that we talked a lot about is as much as you take the head out, you know, these smaller defensive backs, they have to, you know, we're telling them to change their target zone. And so we talked about the fact that this might you know, result in more lower extremity injuries. And so we've got to go look at the numbers and maybe we need to address that as well. But we do think that you can play clean, aggressive football, Patty, without hitting people in the head.
All right, let's look forward to Baltimore. Possible return, hopeful return of Ed Reed. Just sort of your thoughts on what it would mean to you to see that guy out there.
Yeah, it obviously would be significant. I think even for him going back to Baltimore, obviously, you know, he was ready even last week. He battled us last week, and we just felt like we needed to see a little bit more in practice and see him do a little bit more before we felt like he's ready. So hopefully he continues on that line, and hopefully he's out there on Sunday.
Take us through when you take someone like, and it's been a couple weeks, but he comes off an inactive list. Sam Montgomery's on the inactive list. You've added some new guys to the practice squad this week. Just, you know, those transactions, how is that all you? Is it done by committee? Kind of just give us a little bit of background.
Well,
on that.
It's a combination of Gary and I sitting down. And basically, when you talk first about the practice squad, I mean, that obviously those eight players, they're really two major functions for those players, the first of which is to facilitate practice. And so depending on what your injury situation is, obviously we had an injury with Dwayne Brown. And so all of a sudden, you might be a little bit light at offensive line, and so you've got to look at your roster and see how do we function through practice. And if you need to make an adjustment there, Oren Daniels is into a routine now where he won't practice a lot on Wednesdays. And so what you saw us do is add a tight end to the practice squad this week, and we let Bourne, the fullback, go because that helps us get through practice more. So that's one of the things. And then obviously the other thing is that we want players that have a chance to help us, and so there's some player development to the practice squad as well. And so that's that piece of it. And then when you talk about the 46 active roster, that's all predicated on health of your football team as well as game plan. There are times when you dress more wide receivers, you know, than defensive backs. So maybe on defense you might have more linebackers because those guys are helping you on special teams more so than the fifth wide receiver would. So all of those things go into game plan, and that's really generated in large part from Gary and the coaching staff, and I just try to help facilitate that stuff.
All right, well, real quick before I let you go, just looking at this Baltimore Ravens team, very schematically the same, if that's even grammatically correct the way I said that, but schematically the same, just kind of have retooled with some different players. Just your biggest concern as you see Baltimore?
Well, I mean, very talented football team. I mean, they've had some changes in the offseason, and you know, it's been well documented. The leadership, you know, that you know, walked out of the building with Ed and with Ray Lewis. But this team is extremely talented. I mean, I've got a lot of respect for the organization, for Ozzie Newsome, and the way that he has continued to build that football team. And so you're right, they do the same. They're very aggressive on defense. They got one of the best defensive fronts in football. And offensively, you know, they've got weapons. And so we've got to play it to our best. And the thing that we haven't done, you know, is we've played 60 minutes. We've played better in the second half of these games. We've got to make sure that we come out fast, play well early in the game, and then finish the game.
All right, great stuff. Thank you, as always.
Thanks.
All right, we have to take a time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, we will head out to the Houston Texans Grill and check in with Antonio Smith at his radio show. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Of course, by now you're used to the fact that each and every week we follow Antonio Smith out to the Houston Texans Grill for his radio show. Well, this week is no different, except we were on time and Antonio Smith was not.
No, they're applauding the ninja assassin, a precision assassin. And here he is joining us by our Texans radio stage at the Houston Texans Grill. Ladies and gentlemen, Antonio Smith. All right. Okay, this just in, Houston traffic is horrible, right?
Yes.
we've
very,
definitely confirmed that. What was that? I'm sorry?
Especially up Kirby, man.
Oh, really?
Outrageous.
Pretty bad.
Were you riding your horse?
No, I was my horse truck, though.
Yeah, but your horse might have made it here faster because the horse could get between vehicles that. See?
I might need to go get him.
All right, so, we've been talking about a number of things related to the game on Sunday. We played a bunch of cuts from your teammates saying it was so good to have you back. Mm-hmm. How was it to be back in the fold with your team?
It felt good, man. I mean, absolutely good. I had fun out there. You know, I've been missing the action, you know. And that game right there, especially against Tennessee, I like it the way it was. You know, it was like a – hard fought, you know, to the end of the wire type. It held up to like a bedlam type of thing. Mm-hmm.
They're a lot better than they've been in the last couple of years, aren't they?
Yeah, I think people think that they're, you know, they just gonna be pushovers, but I think they're gonna surprise a lot of people, man. They play tough, and that running game they got is hard to stop.
Yeah, Chris Johnson, if they give him a little tiny crack of daylight, he can get a lot of yards out of it.
Yeah, and they offensive line hold well, man. I mean, you'd be right there to make the tackle, and half the time when they was driving up the field on us, it was frustrating because, you know, you're right there to make the play, but you're not making the play. He bouncing out, and before you know it, you know, they, especially that last drive, they had scored a touchdown on him.
Yeah, he's one of those guys to me that, you know, just watching it, and you're in the trenches with it, but just watching it, you hold your breath every time he touches the football.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to keep him contained somehow. He's not the same guy I ran for a couple of grand, but you know what? He'll run for 1,000, 1,500 easy this year if he stays healthy.
I definitely think so. You know, especially with his home run breakability, man. If he get out and it's just him and the safety, mm-hmm. That's 88 and out the gate.
Baltimore on Sunday. And this is a place where the Texans have never won, but it's only 0-3. All time. What do you make of it, as the Ravens are a little bit different than they were when they won the Super Bowl, of course, personnel-wise, but they have Flacco, they have a lot of dangerous weapons.
I think that this game right here has developed over the years into more of a bedlam than even Tennessee, I think.
Really?
Because for a minute there, we was going back and forth, and they was the team to beat, you know? Mm-hmm. They was the team to beat, either them or the Patriots, and we finally got to the point where we was able to beat them, you know, especially last year in a big game like that, you know, and then they go on to win the Super Bowl, you know. So it's going to be a big challenge. It's going to be a fun game.
How surprised were you at what they were able to do in the postseason last year?
I wasn't that surprised, you know. It's always that team that hit it right at the end that goes through. The team that coast all the way there. And you think it's going to win the Super Bowl because they won every game. These past, like, few years, always lose.
Yeah.
Always lose, especially if you get their first round bye. For some reason, it's like a jinx.
I want to hear what you think about Joe Flacco, because whenever anyone brings his name up, pre- and post-Super Bowl, I always think toughness, because of the three times, last three times you guys have played him, you've absolutely hammered him. The two times in 11, last year in 12. I mean, it just seems like you bludgeoned him, battered him, whatever word you want to use, you took it to him. What is your impression of Joe Flacco?
You know, we talk about that exact thing in the meeting room, in the defensive line meeting room, man. The guy just keeps getting back up. And I think each of us in each one of those games hit him like four times a piece, you know, four times a piece. And he gets up. And I know, I remember one time we all smacked him at one time and people's helmets came flying off. And in the picture, you can see him all scrunched up, but he got right back up. Right back up. I think he's one of the toughest quarterbacks out there, you know. There's only a few of them that take those kind of hits, you know, and get up and keep leading their team.
Offensively, two straight weeks, you have to rally into position to win the game on the last play. And your quarterback said, hey, it's my fault I threw that interception. Mm-hmm. What about the quarterback in the first couple of weeks here? Your thoughts on Matt Schaub's performance overall?
I think Matt Schaub is building his legend this year, you know. He's building it up. And I've seen a lot of, like, off the field and different type of, you know, swag and attitude things about him this year to where, you know, he's just focused on being the quarterback that he know he is, not what everybody around here is saying, you know. And I think that he's going to do something great this year.
What do you mean some of the stuff? What sort of stuff are you talking
about? I see it everywhere, you know. Some people even come at me, man, what's the deal with Matt Schaub? I'm like, what do you mean? He's one of the best quarterbacks stat-wise every year. What do you mean, what's the deal with Matt Schaub? You know, it kind of like gets on your nerves, like, he's a good quarterback. He's our quarterback. Why is everybody not liking Matt Schaub, you know?
Well, with Matt Schaub, do you think it's going to be a similar sort of thing once he wins the Super Bowl? Then do you think the tide will change? I think with Joe Flacco, he wins the Super Bowl, but for some reason people are still not considering him
to be the
Matt elite
quarterback.
It'll be done.
He can sign it right there, yeah.
Great stuff with Antonio, as always. And, hey, be sure to head out to the Houston Texans Grill every Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. You can be part of the show and listen to Antonio. We have to take another time out here on Texans. Don't go away. We'll have more from Antonio. This time, we've got some of the players that have some questions for him. Stay with us.
Texans Weekly has been brought to you in part by Amegy Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. And by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network.
Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Let's head back out to the Houston Texans Grill for Ask Antonio.
Ask Antonio, where we take questions from Houston Texans teammates, and they want to know things about Antonio, so we just go ahead and hand off to them. Let's hear the first one, shall we?
Hey, I'm Ben Jones with the Texans. Scooby, who's more country, me or you? I know you got the off-road gear and stuff, but that don't make a country boy. Country boy is where you're from.
Okay. He's from Centerville, Alabama, Ben Jones, and he wears no shoes before the game out on the field when he's warming up. That's pretty darn country, Antonio.
Yeah. It's two different types of country, you know. I'm cowboy type country, and he just, you know, country.
Country.
So that's hard to answer. I would have to give him the country accent. He got that. He got that all the way. But some people say, you know, I have a country accent. But other than that, you know, I think that tone wins that hands down. Other than the accent, because I'm just a cowboy, all genuine, you know, just all around. Renaissance cowboy, man. I do it all. Cattle, horses, chickens, hogs. I do it all.
He's not talking about what he eats. He actually, I joked, hey, did you ride in on a horse? You own horses. You ride horses.
Oh, yeah.
You go out and do all that stuff.
Yeah,
don't
where
you?
I'm from, we call it riding down through there, you know, cowboying up. That's what I do.
Cowboying up.
And you're wearing the hat after games in the locker room during the press conference, so it's no joke with you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
By the way, other guys were starting to do that a couple of years ago. I'd like to see more of that. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Me
stuff.
Me and D-Man compete, but I destroy him every time, you know. He goes to the store every week to try to find an outfit that'll outdo me, but I get him every time.
Well, we'll see what Manning's
And he's got that
to.
Alligator skin, too. Don't forget about that.
JJ wore cowboy. He cowboyed up one day. And he said he wanted to do it this year.
A cowboy day?
Yeah, so I'm going to try to get as many teammates to do it on a special game. And
I think it would be a thing.
I like it.
People would come to the stadium with the hats if you guys all start doing it post game. Yeah, I think it would be you know, one of those things that kind of grows as the season evolves here. All right, let's get to our next Ask Antonio question, please.
Tone, it's Witt again. Got a serious question for you, bro. Who's your biggest rival? Oklahoma, Titans, or Richie Incognito?
I didn't think we could come up with a question like that.
That's a good question.
I mean, Bedlam.
Bedlam is hard to get out your blood, man. Yeah. It's hard. I mean, because it separates a state. Oklahoma has a line drew through the middle of it.
Yeah, is there real bitter hatred there between those two schools?
Have real bitter hatred, or you have the I'm a Sooner fan or Pokes fan, but I only will root for OSU when they're not playing us.
Right.
And then the other ones is just like, I hate Oklahoma State. I hate OU. You
know? Okay.
And I'm pretty much the hate OU type.
Yeah.
But you guys beat them when you were there, did you not?
Yes.
And that was when they were just killing Texas, killing a lot
of
them.
We made them change the game because at first it was at the end of the year we would play Bedlam, the last game of the season.
Right.
And they went crying and talking about they wanted it messed up their
national championship
hope. So they had it like in the middle of the season now.
They always have that lot. Remember Kansas State one year?
Yep,
and big game, Bob. He sometimes falls into that trap. But give them credit because they've had that opportunity a number of times. All right, so it's probably Bedlam. It's not Incognito.
I would have to give it to Bedlam because he said who is my rival, he said.
Right.
Yes, I would have to give it to Bedlam because Rich Incognito couldn't block me to save his life.
There we go. Without doing illegal things, right?
Yes.
Of course.
Antonio talking some smack. I wonder if Richie Incognito is watching. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show, but I know you're watching, and hopefully you'll be watching on Sunday for Texans Countdown Live pregame show. That's at 10 o'clock before the Ravens game. And then stay with us or come back and watch the postgame show, which will be live from Baltimore as well. Have a great